is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's a beautiful sunny morning here at the Radio Ranch. A little brisk, 32 degrees, but that's how it is on May 9th up in the Rockies. And we're not expected to get out of the 60s for the next 10 days for highs, but that's okay. That's springtime in the Rockies. We love it. I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning. And we've got a full crew for you. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. And good morning, John. And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. Lots going on out in the world. They're talking, oh, maybe we'll open the country up this week. Some people have not closed down. Some people have opened a little early and kind of paid the price. Saw that down in Texas, and I'm sure that's something we'll talk about today. And we'll have, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open if you'd like to call in. And we are coming to you live this Saturday morning, May 9th. Well, John, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer before we get going any further.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to the things that are going on in the world and how they tie into biblical prophecy, and that we would be able to be the watchman over the house of Israel and warn those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, we continue to pray for those who can come to repentance, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, that they would be able to hear and see the truth, and that they would fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness before it's too late. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, and we thank you for the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. We thank you that your word says that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. We thank you that as we continue to pray that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, we're seeing that on a daily basis. Some major developments this week, and we know that your hand is involved with that. We thank you, Lord. We continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another, and we're seeing that as well. But Lord, we're praying for righteous judgment now that these things have been found out, now that those wicked, evil, demonic forces of hell are being exposed. We just ask for your judgment, Lord, not man's judgment, but your righteous judgment to come down upon all those that have perpetrated these wicked, vile, deceitful acts against you and against your people. Father, your word says that we're to pray for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. So we pray those things. Lord, your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking that you would bring a revival once again in the land, Lord, that you would, your people would see the opportunity in this slowdown, in this mad world that we're living in, to refocus on the things that are important, our families, and more importantly, growing closer to you, Lord, that they would blow the dust off their Bibles, crack them open, and, Father, that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct them, lead them to where it is that you want them to read. We continue to pray that you would send your ministering angels out ahead of us to prepare those people's hearts and minds and souls that you want us to reach. And Father, we pray for your guardian angels to protect those that are yours. We plead that precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, realizing that there is no weapon, offensively or defensively, that is any better than that precious blood. We plead that over ourselves and our wives and our children, our loved ones, and all that you blessed us with, Lord. But we need to, this is a time when we need to hear ye, the Lord. And Father, we pray that any demonic forces, any spells, any witchcraft that may be at play that is trying to hinder your people from being obedient to you, Lord, that you would just bind those things, and we send them to your feet to be dealt with however you see fit. We ask that you would loose the Holy Spirit, Lord. Pray that we would be a shining light in this dark world, and that people would look to us for spiritual encouragement. Lord, we also pray that you would give us the wisdom, understanding, open the doors that need to be opened, close the doors that need to be closed regarding physical provisions that we need to be making for ourselves, our families, and even those that are less fortunate, Father. Help us to have the abundance that we need to be able to share the not only the physical food, Lord, but the spiritual food that you've given us. We love you, Lord, and we're grateful for the opportunity to live in these times. We pray these things in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, and in amidst all this destruction, you might say, that's going on, destroying of the economy, and the headlines, unrest is growing in different states. We've seen some of the protests, and we're seeing some of the relaxing of the guidelines and the rules. And I just wanted to mention, I didn't know if you saw this out of Texas this last week, Remnant. I know that we did get a couple of emails on it, but several people I've talked to have not heard of it. But it was a salon owner, and it's the salons that are in the news for some strange reason, but salon owner was saying she needed to get back to work. Her people that worked for her had been calling her, couldn't pay their bills. And that was a quote that she said, was that you might have closed down the economy, but my bills are still due, and I've still got to pay my bills. And so she went back to work. Oh, did the mask thing and the social distancing, and basically made a local judge mad. And so he called for her arrest, and they arrested her, put her in jail in Texas. And you think, oh, no, that's bad. But there were some good things that came out of that, because it made the national news. It got some national attention. And the lieutenant governor, I think that's Dan Patrick in Texas, came out and said, tell you what, Judge, I'll pay her $7,000 fine. And he said, I'll serve her time in jail. But they put out an edict and said, you let her go because she has to go back to work. And then, of course, they had the press releases, and she did. She got out. She went back to work. And now they are looking at that judge. And why did he make these decisions? And was it more of a personal thing? And was he following judicial guidelines when he made these edicts and when he called for these things to be happening? And I just couldn't help but think, I know, John, you've been praying for the judges to be brought, you know, to the Romans 13 applies to all, that, yeah, you obey authority, the godly authority. And if the judges aren't doing it, then they need to be brought forth. And that's exactly what's happening. And so it's unfortunate that this this salon owner had to go through this, but it is bringing to light, you know, these ungodly and un-American, you might even say, judgments and harshness of this thing. You know, other headlines are coming out. The California sheriff, Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, reaffirmed his stance. He said, I'm not going to make criminals out of business owners, single moms, and otherwise healthy individuals for exercising their constitutional right. And so I think it really is showing that it's not just the government that you might say is out to get us, but even within that government, there are still some good law-abiding people, some people that still have the law of God on their heart, and that they're in this battle as well with everything that's going on. Did you guys see that this week?
Yeah, in my opinion, there's a little bit of grandstanding going on there as well. From what I read, I think she contacted the media and told them that she was opening up, you know, kind of not being wise as a serpent, in my opinion. And then her GoFundMe page raised over $500,000 and it shut down. So, you know, the first one who's going to take a stand. But the fact that you identify to the media that you're opening, and then you receive your cease and desist letter and you rip it up in front of the TV cameras and all that. Like I said, the good thing is that the judge is being exposed for what he did, but the reality is what needs to happen is silently everybody just needs to reopen their businesses and not even worry about it, because we all know that there's strength in numbers, and if everyone did that, then there's nothing they could do. But the problem is you have half the America who believes this stuff and is scared to death of it. That's the reality.
Yes.
And you got half that can have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they can see and hear the truth, and they know that this thing is basically the flu, other than if you're older generation or you have pre-existing conditions. I mean, you can talk to even those who believe in this thing, and you can tell them, well, you know what, if we'd have taken precautions just for the older generations and for those who are susceptible, who have pre-existing conditions, we'd be in the same place that we are today, but the economy wouldn't be destroyed. And you can see too that paper that we read here a couple weeks ago on church service regarding the Rockefeller Foundation and the scenario lockstep. that things would tighten up even after the virus dissipates, and it is. And their plan is to basically force test everyone in the country. And then once you're identified as that, I mean, the problem is they tell you what they're going to do. And the demon rats aren't known for being the smartest either. So there was, I think it was Ventura, California, where a health official came out, I think the health secretary for the state, and said that basically if there's someone living in a house that's been tested positive and there's three or four other members in that house that are not positive, and there's only one or two bathrooms in that house, well, then we may have to take that person out of the house in order to protect those other people who are not contaminated yet. And so basically what they're doing is they're saying that if that person is in that household and it cannot be quarantined with its own bathroom, then they're going to come and forcibly remove that person. So what we're seeing is what I brought up back in February, the beginning of medical martial law. And these were executive orders that the Obama nation put into place after the Bush administration that just amplified the power of the government. Basically, the Health and Human Services Secretary and FEMA takes control over all of this situation, over everybody, including the governors. But I think it's interesting, if you look back at the tweet in December, right after the failed impeachment proceedings, when President Trump tweeted out, "In reality, they're not after me, they're after you." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people have kind of given up on President Trump, think he's on the other side and all that, but I believe he's playing chess and not checkers. And he also has to realize that if he came out and said this thing, you know, we need to realize that if he came out and said this thing was a farce from the beginning, then they would have tried to pin every single death that took place, even though it's got nothing to do with COVID-19, on the president. And that was their, I mean, this is their Hail Mary, in my opinion, of the demon rats, to try to destroy the economy. Well, they've been pretty successful with that so far, and we've only just seen them scratching the surface regarding how bad this is going to get, in my opinion, as far as financial impact. But, yeah, that's what I see going on. In fact, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I think this would be the top story. You can't make this stuff up. The House of Representatives proposes H.R. 6666. Which basically gives the health department the authority to come into your home and to remove someone who is tested positive if they are in the midst of more people in that home with not enough bathrooms for that person to be quarantined. I mean, this is real stuff. They tried to walk it back, but Ventura, California, you know, is obviously the test bed, always has been. And usually, as California goes, so goes the country. So those are the things that I think we need to be aware of and understand, that there are those that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And the good news is that there are people who never believed that, who are starting to understand and believe it. Even those Democrats are scratching their heads, and you know, especially with the them exposing what the FBI had done to the Trump administration over the last several years, how the whole Russiagate thing was nothing but a phony, and now they have all the proof to show it. And like I said, if you get a rat cornered, don't be surprised if they pull out all the stops, and they have. And you know, they really, the next stop is war, and there probably will be some sort of war. But right now we're seeing all the things that Jesus warned us of would be, we would see before the end times. And we're seeing wars, rumors of wars, we're seeing plagues, we're seeing floods, we're seeing earthquakes, we're seeing, I mean, all the things that he warned us about, we're seeing.
Amen.
Well, and one of the things that we've noticed too is there's just you know, and yeah, leave it to me. I'd figure I'd bring it up, but you know, this agriculture impact that it's having on our farmers and our ranchers and stuff, just across the country. I've been in touch with a lot of people, and it's just it's amazing how they have continued to target that part of our economic system and food supply. I mean, up in Michigan with these packing plants being shut down, I was talking with Zach yesterday, and we were talking, and he said that he said basically he was talking to a guy that's got a butcher shop or a shop that's open. Or not open, it's closed down. He hasn't been able to get to open up. But they've got animals that need slaughtered and need butchered, and they can't get it done. And as he was talking with this guy, they were saying that they were relating to me that, you know, they're going to be looking at $8 a pound hamburger in the state of Michigan in short order. It's not that there's no beef to be slaughtered. It is that they have no way of getting it butchered. You know, out here in Wyoming, it was pretty neat. The governor's wife, she actually was a big part of putting together a bill to open up where ranchers could sell directly to the people. And the way that came about is they've got a cattle ranch, and they wanted to donate some beef cows to get slaughtered and donate them to the food shelters and homeless shelters and the food banks, and found out, well, they can't get them slaughtered anywhere. So they put together a bill, and they did it in actually good time, made it legal, and where ranchers can actually take care of slaughter in their farm goods and sell directly to the consumer. No FDA requirements, no stamps, no rubber tape, no BS. It's just, you know, straight from the farm to the table. And that's the way it should be. It cuts out all the middlemen and makes it where people actually if they have a product that they need to get rid of, they can sell it and they can take it direct to the consumer. Colorado's got a lot of laws that have been on the books for a long time that allow the same thing, and it's been that way. And you know, it's one of those states that, yeah, it's got a lot of problems with our government, but that's one of the areas that they've actually been really good about, and they've really supported their farmers. That is huge. That is crucial. That's one thing that we're seeing from coast to coast is, you know, people not being able to get rid of their milk, not being able to get rid of their eggs, not being able to get rid of their produce, not being able to have their seed stores open. You name it. It is an attack. It's war. It's war against our food supply. And it's just all over the place. And you know, people need to pay attention to that. You know, there's always ways around it. And, you know, when it comes to the point where if you see your neighbor, you know, or somebody down the road, a rancher, and he's having to kill his cows and cover them up with a bulldozer, go buy some beef from him. You know, buy a cow from them. Do what you got to do. It's you know, butchering a cow isn't a heck of a lot different than butchering a deer or an elk or a goat or anything like that. It's just on a bigger scale. You know, people need to be aware of these things, but it's definitely war against our food supply.
Yeah, you see, Richard was telling us. There in Laramie, there's two major, you know, meat processors, and they're both booked for a year right now.
Yes.
But, yeah, I agree with you, Jason. What the governor in Wyoming did was amazing. From what I hear, though, the cattle prices are way down. Is that correct?
Well, they say that they're down, and they're down on the market. It's kind of like the silver market. So, I mean, basically, we've got, you know, silver, and it's undervalued, and it's below market price. And, you know, you're seeing it on the charts, and if you look at what spot price is, it'll say, you know, it's $15.50 an ounce. Well, is it selling for that? Absolutely not. Are people selling it for $15? Can you order it for $15? You can't even order futures on it without paying a $3.50 premium on it. And that's what we're seeing in the cattle market also. You know, they say they look on paper and you look at the charts and they're saying, oh yeah, this is what we're paying. You know, cow prices are down. Is anybody selling them for that? Absolutely not. You can't buy a cow for what they have on the market price. You can't buy steers. You can't buy bred heifers. You can't buy open heifers. You can't buy hardly anything for the prices that they're saying. So it's all, it's manipulated. It's just a completely manipulated market.
Yeah, that seems to be what they're doing, and the price on the price to the consumer at the grocery store is going way up, but the price the farmers are seeing is not, and they can't sell for the price that they've got posted or want to pay, and that's creating that glitch in the system there that's causing issues. I think that you know, if you look at the Green Deal, the new Green Deal, if you look at Agenda 21, if you look at these things, basically the implementation of what we're seeing in our food supply and our economic system is the implementation of these projects, of these programs. And I'm not, somebody said, you know, I know John said a lot of people are irritated with Trump, but let's just remember he's just the president. He's not the supreme leader. He's not the emperor of the United States. There are processes and forms and ways that he has to move, and his power is somewhat limited. I mean, short of declaring some kind of martial law or something, and I'm not sure that would be a really great idea either. But if you look through a lot of this, you're seeing these liberal antichrists going for broke. They're trying to implement these programs that they've been talking about for the last couple of years. You know, I mean, you see it in the mainstream news. They want to talk about, pollution levels are way down because nothing's going on, one of the things that the new Green Deal wants to do is get rid of all oil usage. Well, that's what they're trying to accomplish through this moratorium on travel and, these other things is, you know, they want to break the backs of petroleum. They want to break the backs of food. They don't want farm food. They want Franken meats. They want all these other things. And I think that we're just seeing a manifestation of this mental illness that they have as far as trying to recreate things. So it's a battle for the pocketbook and the homes and the minds of people, and you know, they're just out there. You know, this is their final move. Like we said, you corner them, and they're going ahead and trying to implement this. And I think that's what we're seeing. But it's a very, very interesting scenario that's unfolding, and it's not going to stand. God's not going to let it stand. People are. I'm just amazed how many people's eyes are being opened as to what's going on. You know, it's like, wow. I'm seeing a lot of people that were fence riders, I guess you want to call them, go, oh, this is, you know. So, yes, yeah, exactly. So, it's the problem is, you know, if you feel the need to isolate yourself, and if you feel the need to be fearful over this project, stay home. Isolate yourself. No one thinks any less of you. No one thinks, you know, fine, that's great. But then we have these people out there who want to run around out there, and they want to, it just amazes me. I watched a gal with a baby in a stroller the other day out walking their child. This was back east, and, like, New York, New Jersey, somewhere over there, and she was walking her 7-month-old daughter. She was by herself, just her and her daughter up, getting some sunshine, going for a walk, and here comes some gal with a mask on and a camera following her around and snitching her out, you know, I mean, and it's like, wow, lady, if you think you need to be isolated, then go isolate yourself. It's not even about that for those kind of people. It's about control and manipulation, and, you know, they're going to follow you around and try to run all that. And that's the mindset that we're dealing with in some way.
Yeah, what people don't even realize is how many millions and millions of dollars are being spent all around the country. And if you look, you'll see it. It's everywhere. But basically, there's this Budweiser Event Center not too far from where we are, and there's these ranch buildings that are used for livestock shows and things like that, and one of my friends owns or knows the owner of one of them, and basically FEMA came to him and said, we want to pour this thing full of concrete. I think it was 100 and, or no, it was more than that. I can't remember, but anyways, and then we want to set it up for emergency quarantine procedures, and supposedly they give them a super lucrative deal for a minimum of 4 months. But the point is, like the Denver Convention Center, they you know, I mean, they're framing up walls, they're putting in HV. I mean, they're building these things out like they're 30-year buildings, and there are already plans to tear them down in August. So you know, the waste of the money that's going on right now, and what lends credibility to what that California health administrator revealed was the fact that they're all around town right now. There's been several places where you can drive in and get tested, where they swab your mouth or whatever it is. I don't know how they do it, or your nose or something. But there's nobody there ever. And these are in the hospitals typically, and the hospital parking lots are empty. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but there's like a million people getting laid off in hospitals because there's, I mean, for how long now? Two months, they haven't done any elective surgeries, and all they've been doing is waiting for this coronavirus mass.
That's never happened. Yeah.
That never happened. And the bottom line is that they're continuing to put these test stations up all over. And if you look, if you see a couple of tents in a parking lot, in a vehicle or two right there, well, guess what? That's the testing center. And I believe what's going to happen is that these governors are going to come out and say that it's mandatory for everyone to be tested. But the reality is that, you know, even if those tests were real, which they're not, there's no no proof that they're legitimate. But the goal is they're going to let us open up so that we don't create the backlash and resistance that's taken place across the country. But then, because of the mass testing, they're going to say, well, we can't do this because everyone is, you know, the infection has spread so much more. Look at how many people have tested positive. Well, all it is the flipping flu in the majority of cases. And anyways, you can see the writing on the wall if you look around. And you can also see how many millions, if not billions, I'm sure billions across the country are being wasted. It's just like most people didn't realize, but in 08 when they passed that $1 trillion stimulus bill, you know, shovel-ready work. It was supposed to be for the infrastructure, to fix the roads, fix the bridges, all that stuff. They didn't do any of that. All that money was used in surveillance against the American people, and that's the truth, and to militarize your local police force.
Yes. Well, John, let's go to the phone line. We've got a couple callers. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Greetings, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I think Pastor Pete laid it out by faith by putting Isaiah 27:1 as his moniker scripture. In that day, the Lord was his sore and great and strong sword, so punished Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And now it's manifesting. He did it. Pastor Pete laid this out by faith when he taught us week by week what the bar attorneys, et cetera, were doing. Basically, they're bringing the law of the sea onto the land. And we have to remember that it becomes fiction. It's fiction. So we buy into the fiction with the fiction name, the fiction address, and fiction is protected. So, you know, we're living a cartoon that's protected in the fiction world. But it's exposed now, and we're looking at the copyrights and patents. But we have to remember, they're pulling a scheme on us to put their patented chemicals, and we consent to flu vaccine, et cetera, in the past, and now they're bringing it up where we're going to do it by consent with a tattoo, get a digital ID, and basically become their property. So if you look in, like, I have Gilbert's Law on Property, it talks about capturing wild animals and what's necessary. And that's what they're doing. They consider us animals in their statute. Alfred Adask brought all that out. So they're looking at our consent to the patented vaccines, they test, they say, oh, our property's in your body. You don't know who you are. So the remedy is going to be, it is written concerning our identity in the new covenant. We're bought with a price, and our remedy is going to be, it is written. Who owns the title deed to the earth? Whose property we are? We're going to refute their presumptions and continue what Pastor Pete did by faith. Now we see it, and the people are hiding from it. So I have faith that we're going to be overcomers if we stick with it is written, just like Pastor Pete did when he was attacked. He picked up the Gideon Bible and stood on the promises. Commands and promises. We need to break everything down into commands and promises.
Amen, brother. Thanks for your call. Amen. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Caller, thanks so much. Amen. Amen to that. We're going to get the next caller here. And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and the guys. This is Ken in Wisconsin. And I'm just going to share a thought with you. And I think it was Tim. Is Tim there with you or Zach?
Yes, Tim.
Oh, I thought it was Tim. Yes. He brought up the thing about martial law, and that's not very desirable. Well, you know, I was thinking about martial law last week, and in the situation that we're in right now, it may not be such a bad idea, because can you imagine how fast Trump could drain the swamp and shut the mouths of the Nancy Pelosi's in this world and the Adam Schiff's? They might get on the first boat to Africa, you know, because they're traitors. And if they opened their mouth and said something derogatory about what's going on, he could throw their butts in jail overnight. And if Trump was at the reins of this thing, I don't think I'd be scared of martial law right now. I really don't. I just thought I'd throw that at you. Because there's more than one way of looking at that. He could use it for the goodness of this country, too. And the Democrats wouldn't be able to cheat on the next election because there probably wouldn't be one. And on it goes. I'd love it. So you guys have a... I'm going to sit back and listen to the rest of this. Now, I really enjoy your Saturday morning programs, and I listen to everything you guys put out. So you guys have a blessed day. God bless you all.
Thanks, Ken. God bless.
Ken.
You too. Thanks, Ken. Yeah, we talked about a year ago how that's exactly what the scenario probably would be at some point to drain the swamp. Of course, we talked also about how it's a trust issue. At some point, you have to either trust that what the president is doing is for the draining of the swamp, or it could easily backfire on you. But, you know, the good news is, as of right now, our Second Amendment is still in effect, and it always will be in the hearts and the minds of the Christians. But, you know, you see what happened in Canada. We talked about that last week. And it's probably just a matter of time before we have another false flag, in my opinion, that will bring the same reaction in the demon rats to, you know, follow Canada's lead. But it's just, these are times to be praying for God's grace, mercy, and compassion in his wrath, and that he find us worthy to escape the things that are coming, you know. Had an opportunity to speak with some brothers here this Wednesday morning in the prayer breakfast, and some of those were pastors too, and you know, they're kind of scratching their head. They can't really figure out what's going on because they believe the lie. And I point blank told them, I said, look, I said, it's this, a lot of the problem is the church's fault. They're the ones that taught these people to follow Romans 13, you know, obey those in authority no matter what. And they're like, well, yeah, but we're supposed to. And I said, oh, really? So if they told you to go kill every child under 2 years old, are you going to obey that authority? No, I wouldn't obey that authority. I said, yeah, because it's godly authority. If they're antichrist, they hate God and they hate his people, we're not to obey their authority. And you know what? It was like a light clicked on in their head, and they're like, wow, yeah, I never thought of that before. It's like, holy cow. You wonder why we got these stupid people in the world, dumb sheep, that don't even understand that there's an enemy. You know, people are finally starting to realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's what Jesus meant when he said
Beware of those that roam like roaring lions, seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy. I wonder if that's what he meant.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that, John. I had a friend bring something very similar up to me. It's like, why can't these people see this? Why don't they see what is just, you know, as plain as as the nose on some people's face? And, you know, 2 Corinthians 4, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. And that's what it is, that they won't, you know, the scripture says, if you won't believe the truth, God will send a deluding spirit. But praise God that, there are more and more, like you said, that are having their eyes open. They are looking and saying, hey, wait a minute. This is not following the scenario I've been taught. This is not following how I thought it was. I think more and more seeing that, you know, with the masks. You mentioned earlier, Tim, about the woman with the mask running around. And, you know, Dan, I had to visit Fort Collins yesterday, and yeah, they want you to wear a mask out there. Everywhere you go, I had to stop in Jack's, and everybody in there had it. Now, half the employees had theirs pulled down, talking to one another. But there's people walking around hacking and coughing as well, and it's like you don't even want to be out around those people. But more and more seeing that, hey, it's not the mask that, you know, is getting mandatory to be worn, but even the main, and Jason, I was hoping you'd address this, the mainstream media has been coming out saying, hey, we're seeing studies that low levels of vitamin D result in a worse response to this virus. And it's kind of something Jason's been having for us and pushing and promoting for quite a while. And Jason, you got a minute to comment on that, about that, the vitamin D levels?
I mean, basically, and we've been saying that ever since the beginning of this whole deal, is, you know, people, make sure that your vitamin D levels are up. You know, saturate your body with vitamin D. You know, even just last week, there was several articles that were published on mainstream media that said, oh, if you take vitamin D3, you could, you know, cut the incubation time of this virus in half. You could increase your chances of not getting it, you know, by 80 to 90% by just taking vitamin D, vitamin C, selenium. You know, and that's what we've been telling people all along. And, you know, it's important to your health. And, you know, it's the best thing, you know, as far as in the physical that you can do to combat this is to have a healthy immune system and take care of your body. And some of this stuff is very, very inexpensive to take. You look at the prices of, you know, that we've got on some of our supplements. We don't try to make a lot of money like a lot of the other stores do on them. We try to have the best quality products hands down at an affordable price. And that's what we've done, and that's what we've put together. And, you know, we've been able to offer that to the people out there. And you know, a lot of people, you know, just can't believe the difference when they start taking a little bit of something that their body is lacking. And it is neat to be able to see that finally some of the mainstream media is coming out saying, hey, you know, this stuff really works. This stuff really works. It wasn't a hoax. And it's the same media stations that were coming out saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you take your vitamins. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or not. It doesn't matter if you're going to get it. You're going to get it if you're going to get it, is basically what they told you. And they told us that everyone was going to get it. Now they're coming out and they're changing their tune and they're saying, you know, that if, you know, there's a chance that you might not get it if you do some of these things. So that's exciting to see. You know, it's also exciting to see, you know, in this agriculture, you know, section, this is an article that Tim sent over to me, and it was Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said that the meatpacking plants are going to be back to 100% capacity in 7 to 10 days. You see that, and it was just the first headline. It says United States Secretary of Agriculture Sonny and Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Wednesday said at the White House that meatpacking plants would return to full capacity in a week to 10 days. You know, that's we're seeing things changing, and you know, it's exciting. And one thing that, you know, as you hear people and talk to people, there's a lot of people that just have this fear mentality, and it's like, well, they're doing this, and they're doing this. You know, I got my mentality is, they can do nothing unless a power has been given to them, and they can do nothing that God does not allow them to do.
Amen.
If it's for our chastisement, then it's for our chastisement. If it's because our enemies are making an uproar against us, then that's what it is. If it's to wake the people up, then that's what it is. But, you know, if you walk in faith and are bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, he holds that title to you, and there is nothing they can do to you without him granting permission to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, let's go back to the phone lines.
I didn't mean to get off on a rant, but
no, you
know,
that's right.
Things that have been on my heart. And you know, we're seeing these things, and I'm excited about things. I'm excited about the future. When you see Babylon fall, what comes up, when you see a forest fire go through a forest and it burns it down, all the stubble, it is, you go back a year later, and it is the most beautiful sight when that grass starts growing up through that soil and it starts regenerating and things start coming back to life.
Yes.
You know, we've done that with several hay pastures out on the ranch over the years. Is we went in where there's weeds, where there was tares, where there was stuff not fit to feed your animals, and we went out there and we burned it. And you look at what comes forth after that is beautiful, and it's healthy, and it's strong. And, you know, it's now's the time. You can sit in the corner and you can, you know, fret over what the evildoers are doing. Or you can trust God, and it is, to me, it is so exciting to see what happens, because God's hand is in this whole thing, and it has been ever since the beginning.
Amen. Amen. Guys, let's take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I agree, and I left something out here. And that's evidenced by Luke 4 and, you know, the continuation of Isaiah 61, which I think John preached on, you know, Christ did the first 3.5 years, and we as the second advent of the church will do the second half as per Isaiah 61. But as evidence, if you look at Trump's inauguration speech, everybody's saying, what's Trump doing? Well, Trump, because he was plus 70 years old, in my opinion, had the standing to set the captives free, and he did that in his inauguration speech. He did it a number of times, expressly giving the people back the power to choose their jurisdiction. So, just for example, he says, today's ceremony, however, has special meaning because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., the fiction world, and giving it back to you, the people. So I suggest that people read this inauguration address and count how many times Trump gives back the power to the people to choose their jurisdiction. And my suggestion is you choose the new covenant.
Amen.
Where we all have our ministry as the body of Messiah. Shalom.
Amen. Thanks.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Hebrews 5, it's just where the Bible's fallen open this morning. It says, Jesus learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And that is something this nation needs to learn. This nation, for the most part, has become like the Song of Moses. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. We have become fat and happy. Maybe not so happy, but, you know, fat. We have fat and lazy as a nation. The Word says, Jesus learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So, you know, Jason, when you were, you know, talking about God is in this, God has his hand in this, absolutely. The next verse here, and it's Hebrews 5:9, and having been made perfect, Jesus became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. It doesn't say to all those who believe him, to all those who obey. And Jason, I think it ties right in with what you were saying. If you have obeyed him, his word says, he has become the source of eternal salvation. How is that? Well, if you've obeyed him, you've repented, you've been baptized, you've changed, you've read his word, you're applying his word, it's that obedience, not just the belief. In James, it says, even the demons believe. But Hebrews 5:9, to those who obey him, the source of eternal salvation. And that salvation, as our pastor pointed out many times, is not just eternal salvation, but it's being saved in the here and now. It's being saved from the fiery furnace. It's being saved from the lion's den. It's being saved from the famine. I've heard more on Pastor's message, the bravest thing Elijah ever did, when he goes to the widow and he says, I know you're fixing to die, you ain't got enough food, but you make me some first. And she obeyed, and she lived. And it talks about that later in the scripture. It says there were many widows in that day, but that one didn't pass away because of obedience. Yeah. Obedience. John, you've been pushing and promoting that and trying to get that out to the people. When our obedience is complete, but it's part of being saved now as well. Now as well, because there is a famine in the land, a famine of the Word of God, and that is followed always, when you look through the Scripture, it is always followed by a famine of food. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think that's what we are seeing being, when you read about the exile, when you read about the famines and those things that happen, they didn't happen in a day or over a weekend. They were years in the making, because our God is a gracious God. Patient, not wanting any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance. And He gives us time. He gives us time to choose who we're going to serve.
Yeah,
I want to throw this out there. Go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, and it's, people are choosing. It was, I got a news article from Marlin, and it said, federal judge ruled Kentucky churches can hold in-person services starting on Sunday. Oh, whoop-de-doo. They were holding church already, is what they were doing, and they've got a restraining order signed by a judge and said that they couldn't have services. And, it's been going back and forth. There's been several churches down there in the state of Kentucky that have been fighting this. But, one thing is, oh, yeah, everybody's excited. Okay, yeah, he said that they could do it. But I'll tell you what's disgusting is to watch these, to watch why they're assembled and people are in the parking lot. Well, not people, but their vehicles are in the parking lot. They're in the church building with the doors locked. And then you watch these police officers and sheriff's deputies going around calling in every license plate number that's in the parking lot, taking pictures of it, and then putting a piece of paper on the windshield that says your license plate has been recorded. And you're going to have to answer for this. Well, they overstepped their bounds as far as that goes. It's good, yeah, that things are opening up, but at the same time, it'll be interesting to see. And these are things that they're trying to do down the road. And we'll have to see where people are going to make their stand and where they're going to take their stand too. And I think a lot of what is going on is a testing grounds, is they're testing the people to see how much people will put up with and how far they can push people. How long can they keep them in quarantine? How long can they make them wear masks? How long can they keep them out of the banks and out of the grocery stores? So we'll see.
They're just doing their job, man.
But, hey, man.
The reality is God shut those churches down. There's no doubt about it. And that was the other thing I tried to expose to those preachers that came to the Wednesday morning prayer breakfast is, you know what? God's done. Choose ye this day who you shall serve. If you're going to serve Baal, go ahead. But if you're going to serve him, then you're going to have to straighten up. You're going to have to preach the truth. You're going to have to quit worrying about being acceptant and tolerant under the guise of grace, accepting sin. The thing I wanted to put out there as a warning is, fortunately, when you're in this position, you get a lot of information from people. And two of the things that I got this week that I believe makes sense is, number one, we've all known that these things that we're talking on right now are conduit to demons, always have been, and they're from the enemy, but unfortunately we're addicted to them these days. But what I can tell you is, according to a billionaire who's in the likes of maybe not multi-billionaire like Bill Gates, but some of the people who are on the other side, there's those that are on our side that are just as wealthy and been blessed, but as well as those in intelligence. Basically, if you're going to keep this thing, you can't shut off the GPS. You can, supposedly, but the bottom line is, even when these phones are shut off, they're still transmitting the signal. Have you ever noticed
while you turn your phone off how the battery still goes low. But anyways, what I can tell you, if you're going to keep this thing, when you go into a store or you go anywhere, leave it in the truck or leave it in the car. Because we may think it's science fiction, we may think it's not possible, but it is possible for them to track your cell phone with someone who has already been identified as positive coronavirus, and you to receive a text that you must report to here or there or whatever. And, you know, it's the beginning of the medical martial law that we talked about in February. That's their plan. That's why they continue to put up more testing stations. That what they're going to do is give you an opportunity, right, to be compliant and go get tested. But if you're not, well, then comes the next phase. So all I could say is you can live without it when you go into any establishment, and I recommend that you, according to these people, and that's what they're doing, is you leave your phone in the vehicle or whatever.
Amen.
I agree. Now, this whole deep state thing is just coming to light, too. And if you look at what, you know, a lot of these, what they are calling conspiracy theories in the past, they're, you know, it's coming out to be conspiracy facts, you know, and more of this stuff. I'll tell you what, the cell phone, we could go on for about 2 hours on the cell phone deal. But, you know, with what they're doing with the cell phones and the way that they're keeping track of, you know, of your monetary transactions and where you've been, and, you know, it's John's exactly right. You can turn your phone off, and you can drive around town for 3 hours and turn it back on and pull it up on your maps, and there's a way, and it'll show you every place that you were at and how fast you were going and how long you stayed here and how long you were there. So they're keeping track of a lot more of that stuff than anybody really realizes.
Amen. Amen. Well, men, we're out of time this morning. And I think that can be applied to that we are fast approaching being out of time here in this land that we're in as well. But folks, we want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Good Lord willing, our church is going to be open. We're planning on being down there, and we'll be streaming out starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 for you guys on the West Coast. And you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream. John, looking forward to your live message. Looking forward to the timeless pulpit truth from our pastor that I don't know what it's going to be, but it'll be out of today's headlines is where the application will be. I can guarantee you that. Gives you an opportunity, folks, to not forsake the assembly. Give you an opportunity to partake of communion. To be, as we read in Hebrews 5:9, to those who obey, the source of eternal salvation. Gives you a chance to obey. And so hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow.
The other thing I wanted to say in the last seconds here is a lot of people have said they've had trouble listening on their phones to the messages lately, and I believe that's because there's been a large increase in those that are listening. So we do offer DVD church.
Yes.
And it's free of charge. So if you contact the office, you can get put on the list and have the messages mailed out to you in DVD form. I also believe that they're messing with our internet bandwidth right now, too, to try to push 5G. That's the need for 5G. Not to mention that everybody's doing meetings online. But so if you can't get it on your internet because you don't have enough bandwidth, or you can't get it on your phone, then call the office, get put on the list for the DVD church, and we'll mail you the DVDs every week free of charge. Obviously, we need support to do that, so thank you, those that continue to support the ministry. We appreciate it. We can't continue to do what we do without it. So God bless you.
Amen. God bless.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head.